It's 19 minutes after 7 o'clock. So, more details have been revealed of how suspended Health Minister Zweli Mkhize's family and his comrades benefited from the 150 million rand digital vibes contract from the Health Department. And this is thanks to the affidavit that the Special Investigating Unit has filed at the Special Tribunal to recoup the money that was, quite frankly, looted, right, by the minister's comrades. According to the SIU, the minister put pressure on the Director General to approve the communications contract for Digital Vibes. His son, Dedani, allegedly received about 4.2 million rand in EFTs from the company, including money for a car, as well as cash in plastic bags and boxes. And 6,720 was spent by Digital Vibes on repairs to the minister's house in Bryanston. So the president is still sitting with that SIU final report. So this affidavit in the Special Tribunal gives us a window into that report. Let's find out what more this affidavit reveals with Sabelo Sekiti, who's an investigative journalist with the Sunday Times. He thoroughly looked at that affidavit, and I recorded an interview with him this morning. I started by asking him to explain how millions flowed from Digital Vibes to Zweli Mkhize's family.
Well, it's quite a fascinating story, I think, and I mean, probably some of the best work by the SIU in terms of, you know, forensic accounting. So what they were able to do is that we know, of course, from I think previous reports and what the SIU has said is that 90 million rand from the 150 that was paid to Digital Vibes essentially was paid out of Digital Vibes to numerous companies without any reason. The SIU in its report called it undue gratification. And they go as far as sort of saying no invoices, you know, were there to show or to actually explain the expenditure. Now, what they were able to do is that part of that money, about 20 million rand, was then deposited directly into another business that is owned by Tahira Martha, the associate of Zweli Mkhize. From there, Tahira Martha then makes, you know, a series of EFT payments to a cash and carry, to a gentleman linked to a cash and carry in KZN. Mm. That's just over 3 million rand. Then that 3 million rand is then transferred into cash. That gentleman takes cash, passes it to another conduit who then gets it to a petrol station where the minister's son, Dedani Mkhize, makes a number of trips to collect the cash in plastic bags and in cardboard boxes. The SIU counted about up to 6 trips that Mr. Mkhize made. Sure. So that is, I mean, classic sort of money laundering style. You know, when you want someone to get money without it being directly linked to you, it normally passes hands through a couple of different conduits. By the time it gets to the gentleman, they are hoping that the money can't be traced.
My goodness, this was clearly a deliberate corrupt scheme. I mean, they planned this whole thing. What's the minister's son saying? He was tweeting up a storm this weekend, claiming that while he confirms that he received money from Tahira Martha, it doesn't really run into millions.
Yes. So Mr. Mkhize, you know, has been at pains to sort of explain that he has actually gone with his legal counsel to see the SIU. They've actually given the SIU some sort of statement that seeks to clarify previous payments. You would remember that there's another amount of about 300,000 rand, as well as a purchase of a vehicle from a dealership for 160,000 rand. So he says that those are just part of the relationship that he and Tahira have had. She has basically been gifting him, you know, as part of that relationship, which he has also asserted that his father has no knowledge of. Mm. He then says that he knows nothing about this 3.8 million rand that the SIU asserts was also given to him in cash. It will be interesting, I think, for me to see where it sort of goes and what sort of evidence the SIU would be able to show. One would imagine, for instance, things like closed-circuit television cameras would be able to maybe confirm if that petrol station does have, or maybe something like, you know, cell phone triangulation to show that Mr. Mkhize was definitely in the area at the time of these so-called pickups. What is key to me here is the fact that you don't only have, you know, the trail of the money. You've also got people that have told, made sworn statements to the SIU, people who say they were part of this scheme. The gentleman who introduced Tahira to the gentleman linked to the cash and carry. You've also got the sole director, Rida Hariram, of Digital Vibes, who then took the cash from the gentleman that was the conduit between Tahira and the cash and carry guy. So you've got two other people independently sort of saying, yes, we did carry money, and yes, this money did end up in the hand of Dedani.
Yeah, 6,720 was paid by Digital Vibes for the maintenance of Mkiza's family in Bryanston. The SIU asked the minister about this. How did he justify it?
And I think for me, this is probably one of the more funny sort of, you know, situations, because the minister's explanation, you know, is that the money which, you know, was paid, we gathered to a cell phone. He first says that the cell phone is not his. It does belong to, the cell phone number rather is not his. It does belong to a gentleman who carries the same surname as him, that is employed by the family as a driver. He then says that this gentleman had been, he had taken money from the household for this household maintenance, had basically spent it, and then had run to Tahira for assistance out of fear of being found out and losing his job. So they say that's why then Tahira sort of paid money to the cell phone for this gentleman. Of course, the SIU's work again goes as far as sort of establishing that through eNatus, that number is actually linked to vehicles that are registered in the minister's name.
Yeah.
And they also then sort of, you know, put a note there to sort of say, they did ask the minister whether this gentleman, you know, was, had any action taken against him for this so-called theft. And it wasn't clear whether anything had been done.
Yeah.
So what's clear is that they don't believe him, basically.
Wow, wow. What pressure did the minister put on health officials to approve the communications contract for Digital Vibes? Maybe you can also tell us about the other players here. Because people like Anben Pele and Popo Maja also played some role. And this is what we find from this affidavit. What does the SIU affidavit actually reveal when it comes to the other players in this corrupt scheme?
Yes. So I think to me, this is where it gets sort of interesting for the minister as well as, you know, the president, who's now, of course, under fire to sort of do something about this. Besides the stuff that the SIU has referred, you know, to the NPA and to the Hawks for possible criminal investigation, there's infractions in terms of public procurement where I think, you know, the minister is going to be hard-pressed to explain himself. As you'd said, you know, he was sort of like pressuring, this is now the director general, the previous director general, to sort of conclude a contract related in terms of the wording of the text, a contract, and also, you know, finalize the implementation plan. The former director general says that this contract specifically were two contracts. One of them was for Dr. Nicholas Crisp, and the other one was for Tahira Martha. Where it becomes interesting, though, is that the minister at that time was fully aware that there was no possible way that there could have been any procurement process to allow there to be a time for contracting Tahira Martha, yet he issues this instruction. And then we do know, of course, that 10 days later, the department did then try and get National Treasury to approve, you know, Tahira's appointment via a deviation from normal procurement processes. National Treasury wasn't convinced. They sent them back and they told them to run a public sort of tender.
Mm.
You know, and this is where now Digital Vibe sort of comes in. Where it becomes interesting then is that one of the DDGs, who later became acting DG, Dr. Anban Pillay, is the one that is said to have supplied Digital Vibe's name to the department. Another version is that it was the head of communications, Popo Maja.
Mm.
Once this happened, they then issue a closed tender instead of an open tender to 10 companies. And this is where it becomes interesting, because out of those 10 companies, the SIU established that two of them were actually companies that did not exist. These were just names that were taken from the first names of email addresses. Six of those companies that were part of the 10 that did exist were not companies that did communications at all.
Yeah, wow. Sabelo Sikiti, investigative journalist with the Sunday Times. What do you think after hearing the revelations of how the minister's family was involved and how the money, quite frankly, was looted and then distributed to the minister's comrades? I want to take your thoughts on that. Please give me a call.